Big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here, right here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Native Ways Podcast. Today, we're coming to you live from a pretty cool location. We're actually sitting in a hole in Comanche, Texas. And we've got some really cool guests for y'all to listen to today. They're going to tell some stories. So I'll let Christian kind of bring these guys in.
Yeah, so basically we're just going to introduce two of our operators here today. We got Mike and Quaid. We're going to go over a little bit about exactly what they do here, how they do things, and then really just go over kind of their day-to-day and what they do and why they do the things that they do and, you know, why they have a passion for it.
Yeah, talk a little bit about how they got into it. I mean, guys that definitely need no introduction, very well known in the digging community. At least I think so. There may be some people in Llano that might say otherwise, but anyway, without further ado, Mike and Quaid. Quaid, you want to start it off? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I started surface hunting when I was a kid. My grandparents had some land around Big Spring and some cotton fields, and on top of that hill there just happened to be bird points that washed out. My grandma loved to go hunting, so every time I went over there, we'd go walk the fields and see what we could find. She had a pretty cool collection back in the day. I never really found much back then and kind of lost interest, as a kid probably does. But fast forward, then Facebook, you know, people start posting crazy arrowheads, and I never realized, you know, how many different cultures there were and stuff like that. So I really got intrigued by it and just all the history of it. So I signed up for my first dig in Bandera on Mason Creek with Clint Beckham. And as everybody knows, that's, you know, the legendary dig.
That's the site.
The juice.
Yeah, the juice. So, that is fully gumped.
I got spoiled right away, you know, had to learn that that's not how all of digging is. You didn't really have to work that hard for them there. You know, it was almost every load was arrowheads. But in reality, you know, a lot of times you have to dig to find them. They're slow spots. It's not arrowheads every time. You know, that's just part
unless
of it. It's like
Mason
fishing.
Creek.
Yeah, unless you're Mason Creek, maybe, you know, maybe Twin Elm. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, just like hunting or fishing, it's not finding, it's you're hunting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Right.
So that's pretty much how I got started, you know. And then from there, we privately dug a spot in Bandera, and it was really good too. Bandera in general just has some really good camps.
Yeah.
It has a lot of blades and all the hill country type pieces that people want to find.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. And then from there, we've just started digging all over the place.
Hell yeah. What about you, Mike? What got you into this? And then also, I mean, once you wrap that up, kind of tell us about how y'all met and how y'all kind of joined forces on this stuff.
Yeah, which I mean, I can go into that too, because I was about to tell the story about how we started digging the first time we ever even took a bobcat out. You know, so I've never really looked for arrowheads. Of course, grew up in San Saba in arrowhead country, but it was never a thing. You know, I was never into it or anything, and then we'd find them every now and then, you know, like that site I dug in San Saba with my buddy. We found arrowheads there, but then I was in the oil field and I started finding arrowheads and stuff. And I was like, man, and then all of a sudden Quaid hit me. Oh, phone fell. Gosh darn it. But all of a sudden Quaid hit me up, which me and Quaid met in college, and we didn't really hit it off that much. I mean, we were friends and stuff, but then all of a sudden when I started posting arrowheads online, then Quaid was like, hey, me and my dad have this spot in Bandera, you know, I've seen you post arrowheads, you know, like, we're gonna dig it. And I was like, okay. And then it just snowballed after that, because I mean, of course, it was just like you were saying, like a point of load, you know. And so we went out there and we went 4 days the first time.
Yeah,
I think it was 4 days, and it was
four days at Mason Creek. Or to the private?
No, we redug Mason Creek.
Oh.
Yeah, redug it after Clint had left. We got in touch with the landowner and redug the edges of it.
We traded out some work there and
rebuilt fences.
And a lot of what we dug there was half dug dirt undug dirt.
Yeah.
So it was so good we were able to dig a half a bucket of untouched dirt and still. We left with hundreds of arrowheads.
Yeah, so after that, that's when it just snowballed and we just got addicted to digging.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how y'all met, a little bit about y'all. Christian, you got any questions for him, like regarding those sites, before we kind of dive a little deeper into to where they're at now?
Right. So, I mean, I guess for the people that really don't know much about arrowhead hunting and artifacts and, you know, the whole entire culture that there is, what can you say for listeners as far as what to look for, how to find them, you know, just going into that topic as, you know, so if somebody at home wants to find them, they can, if they have some land and whatnot, like, what do they look for?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing would be the water source, yeah, first of all. If you don't have a water source, it's not going to be nearly as much of a good time. If there's a river, creek, yeah, or a spring.
Still not a good time.
Well, I mean, I only say that because when I started, I'd go walk any field, anywhere, and still sometimes would get lucky and find one, but it's not the same as walking exactly where they can't, you know, on their water source. So usually the high side of the creek or the river, a spring, you don't have to worry about flooding. It's usually going to be right on a spring.
Yeah, but also that goes into, like, sometimes it's just, it's not obvious. You know, when it's obvious, everybody knows it's obvious.
Yeah.
And people tell you that. You know, they're like, oh, we find arrowheads all the time. But other times it's not obvious.
And sometimes some of the best sites are not obvious at all.
No.
A lot of times when it is obvious, it's too good to be true, where it's all kind of surface. You know, they camped there not for a long time. It, you know, it never flooded, so that stuff never got covered up. So you see it on the surface and think it's going to be rich. Next thing you know, you dig into the ground and it doesn't even go a foot deep.
You go, everybody's like, you'll walk around and you're killing it on the surface, and then you dive into that camp and it just,
it's all surface camp.
Literally just
that's it happens a lot, you know, more than you'd think.
That's how it is at my house. When we bought my place, so it's kind of a funny story. Lauren and I went and looked at this property, and we go and check it out, and when we're leaving, she literally asked me first thing out of the driveway, what do you think? I was like, man, it's a very nice place. Like, I like it a lot. But one of my big deals is I wanted a place that had points.
I was about to say,
it.
The most important thing, I'm not buying anything without points.
Yeah. So all she's worried about is horses and goats, and I'm over here like, where the hell are the arrowheads at?
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, literally, we're driving down the road. She's like, the only thing I think it doesn't have is points. And I was like, yeah, it really, you know, it's not set up for that. Then the day we close on it, we're out there. We just signed all the paperwork, driven over there, met our parents, and we're walking around the property with them. Walked back in a pasture, and me and my dad are walking back up, and about 10 feet in front of us, I see this point laying there. I looked at my dad. I was like, you see that? And he was like, I do now. And I was like, did you put that there? He's like, no. Went over there, picked it up, little work down Casterville. But, you know, a lot like what y'all were just talking about, just surface camp. We're finding birdies and stuff, but broke into the ground. You get 8 inches, and that's all you got, and there's just nothing in it.
Yeah. Get you excited for nothing. For
those are fun for service hunting, but when you're a digger, then it doesn't work out very well.
You sent me that, once you bought that property, you sent me a picture of the creek and the way it wrapped around your place and all that, and I'm like, you know, it could be, but just too many times, it's just not, you know? I mean, you do a lot more hunting than finding, I promise you that.
Yeah, definitely. Even on sites like what y'all are on, I mean, it's hit or miss. It's what, like we said earlier, that's why it's not finding, it's hunting.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we kind of covered that. They gave a pretty good explanation on that. Something I would say is the camps that I've seen is, I mean, as I've traveled Texas from Bandera to central Texas to now we're kind of northwest central Texas, they vary so much by the soil type, the sign. Not the actual occupation themselves, but the sign in the soil varies. The occupations are generally similar.
Well, it also depends on the setup. So, like, if you're in a spot, you know, like in central Texas, it's a lot easier to find an arrowhead camp. But if you start going to West Texas, you know, even South Texas, when you don't have, even back then they didn't have as much water there. So then, you know, you got to have a setup.
Yeah.
And when a setup is what I'm saying, like either a big hill, you know what I mean, that you can camp against, or, you know, and every once in a while you'll have a camp that you're just like, well, why is this
here? Why are they here?
But also, it, you know, like you just got to have that place, you know. But in this part of the world, even Comanche, you know, and parts around here, you're getting into where it's just, you can find arrowheads just about anywhere on a water source.
Yeah.
But it depends on if there's a camp or not.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed, because I went to school up here, is, you know, you go 30 miles east and you hit Stephenville, there's still camp there, but they're a lot more sporadic than it seems this direction because there's lack of material, like, further east you go.
Oh, well, I mean, that's anywhere.
We've had that with other places,
East Texas, but, I mean, that's even when you go down to Sonora, you know, Sonora area, you're rarely going to have a good camp there.
Yeah. I mean, we've dug around Cristobal, and it's really good. I mean, it's got some fire camps there. I mean,
a lot of them are. I'd put it in the top three camps that we've ever dug.
But you go a little bit further south, and the Flint just shuts off.
Shuts off.
And on the same exact river,
like,
that's everything else done. Is killer, it's just gone. You know, you see signs of camp there, but we walked, man, I don't know. We between 2 days, we probably walked about 20 miles on this one place, and this got a ton of land to look at. And it digging, just wasn't there.
Hey, ended up digging a bottle dump because there was, we couldn't find nowhere.
The best we could find were some antique bottles, about 100 years old. And that was fun, but we were there for the way older stuff, you know. And we found the campsites, you know, the burned rock was still there. But out of all that walking, we barely found a handful of flint each. And that already makes me not
want to dig it. And the other property was more south than Christoval. We started closer to Christoval, then went more south. And you want to talk about, I think we found two pieces of flint in that whole place.
Yeah, and we found some of those Soto middens over there.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool to see.
Soto midden?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
I mean, honestly, I think they're just cooking, like, don't get me wrong, don't quote me on this, you know what I mean? But it's like I think they're just, like, cooking, like, cactus and, like, other stuff like that. It's like, that's Sotolo middens or whatever is how I think
it's said. I could be saying wrong. And full disclosure, we are not experts.
Yeah.
About all of this, you know, we're all about learning. That's why we love it so much, is because we're learning all the time.
I went to a place in Sonora one time, and it had 9 middens on it. And I'm talking just mounds. They were perfect shape, like 4 or 5 foot, just beautiful. And, you know, you think, oh, we're about to find arrowheads and stuff. And we started hand digging in there, and we hand dug all day long and found one little injury point. But you go over that country, it'll trick you because it's just not the same. And, like, you'll have a little mound, but, you know, usually when you see a little 4 or 5 foot mound and it's solid rock, that's a Sotolo mitten or however you say it. And you just don't find points in those. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm just like, I guess they're poor engines or something.
Yeah, I feel like it's just survival mode in areas like
no source.
And probably just passing through from one spot to the next. That's where my brain goes.
Think about that. That's like San Saba where we dug. I don't think that was a long term camp. But I mean, also there's a lot of good
they
stuff
were there,
there
and there.
Oh no, they were there, but I'm saying, like, I still think that it wasn't, I mean, I think if they were there that much, you'd have more layer than just, because we were digging one layer. It wasn't stacked, you know what I mean? Like, even this camp right here, I feel like this Perdiz camp has multiple layers on it. Mm-hmm. On the top. I don't think it's
multiple
just,
occupations.
I'm just saying it's the same people though,
just years and years.
But I think a few more, you know, years on that kind of stuff. I feel like the Arrowhead people just moved a lot.
Yeah.
And chased, well, you know, animals.
Yeah, the bird people were, you know, once the horses were introduced, they were a lot more nomadic. So they didn't have to stay at the same camp forever, you know. And a lot of people, that's why these older camps are so stacked. And the bird camps are a lot harder to dig because they were just always on the move. They're chasing the food.
How many bird camps you dig ever?
A handful.
A handful.
Yeah, they're more, like you're saying, they're more like satellite type camps. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, even when you're in a multi-occupation camp like this, like where you've got stuff all the way back to early archaic, you'll hit a pocket of bird points, and they'll be in there really thick for a minute, and then you get out of them, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Logan had a site in Barksdale last year that was pumping out purds, Kerrville knives, you know, big archaic blades, and we went down there and just hit right on the edge of it and hit a pocket of bird points, and it was just, I mean,
but that's a
little
that's,
bitty spot.
That's a normal bird stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different in San Saba. Obviously, there was more people there, but what was that camp that they dug on the Brazos that produced a lot of birds?
Oh, Rio Brazos?
I feel like that place had to have more, you know what I mean, occupation.
Yeah, they were finding hundreds a day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think there were different bird types, you know,
compared to where we were at.
Yeah, a lot of different cultures.
You know, that's
there.
Like down in Comstock, we dug that Perdiz camp there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's...
Yeah, and what's cool about those is you almost find Perdiz everywhere.
You really
those
do.
People really just covered Texas, and mm-hmm. that's, to me, that's really impressive.
But I just don't feel like they just stayed somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're digging 4,000, 6,000 year old stuff and other sites, but those bird camps are not like, oh, we're just going to stay here. No, they were on the move, I feel mm-hmm. like. That's why you just don't find them so heavy, you know, as you do other types.
We dug into San Saba, and I've never seen a bird camp that extended that far, so I don't think it was long term just by the way that it turned out. But it seemed like they definitely were coming back year after year. At least as a seasonal camp. Well, maybe for pecan harvest. I mean, there's pecans everywhere there.
And we found a lot of pottery there. That was crazy.
We did find pottery.
Mm-hmm.
There was some older cultures down below.
Yeah,
we never found the bottom of that place.
A little bit.
You get random shit, too.
Yeah.
Though,
yeah.
The Montel. The one Montel.
Yeah. The one Montel you found on
day
beveled.
One.
But, I mean, we dug... I mean, unless you own the place and you dig, like, 20 or 30 foot deep in that part of the world, that's like I can't think of his
John
name.
Heaton.
Yeah, he's digging.
Yeah,
like,
it would have been different if we could have done that.
Foot deep.
28 I think maybe 32 foot at some spots.
You know what I mean? That's crazy. If you own the place, you can do that. But I mean, like just trying to go, hey, I'm going to go dig a 30 foot hole in your place. Go ahead and close this whole place off.
And we don't live there either. So it's like an hour and 45 away to leave a hole open like that.
If it ain't your place, I mean, that's hard to do. Yeah. Like 30
well,
feet deep.
You know, that property owner was good enough. He really would have let us do whatever. But being an hour and 45 away, it's like we can only go so often.
I personally, I mean, y'all kind of know me a little bit. I'm more of a hand digger than screen digger, but I would never think to dig damn 30 foot deep. And that is something John's doing. He's hand digging at 30 feet deep. He uses a skid to get down there. But
well, I mean, golly.
He's down there digging.
Yeah. Half a year.
Could you imagine?
How dare he use a machine to get down there?
But could you imagine digging 30 with a 30 foot wall over top of it?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Even when he puts pictures online or whatever, I just like look at it and I'm like, because Clint told us, whenever we first went there, you know, Clint's been around the block. So Clint told us when we first went there, he's like, oh, them camps are deep. And I was like, okay, because I got a buddy that has a camp, but it's on a spring. But the camp's on the river, I promise you.
Those floods is what makes it tricky. Because the depth, I mean, every single time it floods, you have all that soil that washes in. So all of a sudden you get layer after layer that's just buried between nothingness, you know. And that was the problem with the kill site. I believe there was stuff deeper.
I know,
but it just wasn't it wasn't feasible for us.
We found we actually found a mound. We found a couple mounds on that place.
Yeah,
and you'd think
they weren't very productive,
and they just didn't produce. And one of them was like a caliche mound. I've never dug one like that to where we dug into it. And it was, you remember that one?
It almost seemed like the heat of the fire did something with the soil there. It was weird. It was weird for that area.
It always surprises you. I mean, we've dug all over and dug a lot of different dirt and. It's still just like this is different.
Yeah, every time it's right here. Same concept, but, you know, different application, basically, I guess would be the best way to say it. I mean, each of them.
Takes time to figure them out.
Yeah, Yeah, even just, you know, running the dirt through the table, you're like, damn, this is different than the last camp I was at. Now I got to figure out how to run this a little bit differently because today had some gravel in it.
Oh, that's like when people are screening, they're like, where did this come from? Where did that come from? That's like yesterday, Aaron was digging, and he was like, oh, no, Quade hit over there and. You know, like, I found points, this and that. And he's like, and I'm like, well, you don't want this load or what? And then he found, what was it, a Martindale drill or something?
Yeah, I guess probably.
He found a Martindale drill in that load, and I was like, yeah, I told you wanted that dirt, too. It doesn't matter what it looks like sometimes. You
know? Yeah, don't turn the dirt down.
Especially transition from a sand camp going, you know, something more like this. I mean, it does have sand in it, but then you also have that black dirt. That layer on top.
That's what I'm saying. It's just confusing.
That's one thing that's unique about this camp. I mean, it's good. We call it a sand camp, but it has like dirt on top.
Yeah, it's like loam.
You know,
on the top,
and then it's just like endless sand underneath. It's like, where do you stop on that?
Yeah.
You know, there could be paleo down there. It's hard to say. You can only go so deep. It gets so slow, and it's hard to keep digging it.
You always want to find points. That's why you're digging for arrowheads. You know.
I would say, so not to like change subject, but. I definitely want to talk about the kill site. I definitely want to talk about this site, but I kind of want to transition, kind of take it a step back to where we were a minute ago, talking about like what got y'all into it. Talk about those first camps y'all were doing these private deals on, where you bring your buddies in and, you know, you're running a few tables with a few guys and a skid.
Yeah.
If y'all want to talk about that.
So one of the first sites we dug was in Llano, and it had already been dug, you know, by a couple different people, but there was a lot of camp on it.
This is kind of how we met. We're not going to drop any names.
But it started out as in Llano, you know, for us in San Angelo, that's pretty close to home. So it was a place we could go like an hour and a half and we're digging,
Had a blast there.
Yeah, we did. For being in West Texas, that was awesome. You know, we worked full-time jobs landscaping. So every weekend we could get out there, we'd go hand dig and somehow we'd always get lucky out there. And
I remember the first time Quade found a blade, and nowadays that's not even a blade to us hardly.
It's transitioned to a preform now.
Saying it's horrible.
It's still a bifacial artifact, Mike.
But it was one of the first, like, it's still in a frame for sentimental reasons.
Yes, okay.
It's one of the first things we found. I remember is we're handing and we're like, we do have a wood screen.
Y'all had a wood screen.
We had the most rinky dink little 2x4 chicken wire screen.
And all of a sudden he's just running, you know, with that piece, you know, and it was one of the greatest memories. We never
found anything like that before.
We saw a picture of it.
You know, holding it up.
Yeah.
It's
with your little bucket hat on.
It's so funny. Yeah, I remember,
what I was kind of saying is this is kind of how I met Mike and Quade, because I never dug at that site with them, but I dug that site a lot. And I would go in there and I would dig, and then I would come back like a couple weeks later and my spot's all blown out. And I was like, who the heck is coming in behind me? So then I talked to the owner, And she's like, "Oh yeah, it's these guys."
Yeah, because you're handy. Yeah. And we had a machine. Yeah, we're going all out.
Finally, I met Mike and Quade at San Saba, and Mike's like, "Oh yeah, dude." He's like, "I'd go and just blow out where you'd been digging." He's like, "I knew you were finding stuff." Not like that meant that that's where the points were. There's points all over that place, but I was like, "This son of a gun."
All over that place.
Yeah.
Well, that property was kind of a free for all deal, and she actually just reached out to us about she wanted us to do it. We were just having fun doing it by ourselves. We split a machine, take our little homemade screen out there, and we just dig our butts off, you know, as late as we could stay up
late.
You know, but somehow it's like we always got rewarded out there, you know, and it was just a beautiful property out there. That country is beautiful.
Yeah, that was a cool place.
But yeah, she asked us to do it, and we were like, man, you know, kind of hesitant at first.
We told her no for a while.
Yeah, we told her no for a while, but Jay kept telling me, like, man, let's do it. Let's try it.
Did y'all join her board? Are you a board member?
I mean, I think I'm a lifetime member.
Probably am lifetime subscribed. Christian,
I might have got kicked out the other week.
The other day when you were over there? You're like a local legend down there, man. I mean, taking pictures and signing autographs, signing little kids' heads and stuff.
So that campsite was pretty it wasn't slow, but
it was slow
with the killer points. You know, there was a lot of broke Montels, Frios. Oh, it just kept you going.
We were finding like 30 a day at least of broke Montels.
Oh, and you just kept saying every weekend,
there's a whole one here.
Next time we're going to get that killer Montel with a needle tip. You know, we got to get there.
You just don't.
You would talk about football fields of dirt moving. None of those. But there were still some good points, and it was a lot of good times, and that was the real start of it all.
Well, that's what it's all about anyways, digging for me and Quade. It's all about having fun, like, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that when they first start, and even some people that have been doing it for a while, they don't realize, like, it's not about really, I mean, yes, it's about finding points and, you know, reading the camp and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, like, the stories we have and hanging out, that's what's fun.
That's like going fishing. You don't catch fish every single time, so what are you going to do? Go have a bad time when you don't catch the fish? You're just going to be in a bad mood.
Go sit on the gravel bar.
So we try to stay positive.
Some people are.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it's having a good attitude, especially through the slow times, because that happens more than you want it to.
Yeah. That's kind of like our whole goal with this deal is, you know, exactly what y'all said. It's more than just digging, like, yeah, the points are cool, but it's the memories you make, it's the connections you make. You know, it's a community, not just a hobby, and the people you meet. And
oh, you make the best friends doing this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we met. So I mean, obviously,
stinky,
I mean, that's
fuck.
What it is.
Sorry, we're gonna bleep that.
Yeah, we'll bleep that one out.
Yeah, I definitely had fun trying. I mean, I only got one full point behind my belt right now, and I don't know. Richard could probably tell you I probably have at least 40 to 50 brokes and preforms. So. That's my new name is Preform.
Oh, you know, I mean, you know how many days I've watched Quake find all the points, or he's watched me. That's just it is what it is.
You have your luck streaks.
You just roll with it.
Yeah,
you got to pay your dues of finding the preforms and scrapers.
Yeah, Preform King.
Get excited about the Preform.
We got the Preform King and the Pooter King here all in one episode too.
I won't take my belt off and show him the Pooter King you told in that.
You like that, don't you? Yeah, no. So like Christian just said, and that's what I was explaining the last podcast is Christian's new to this. He really got me into some areas of hunting that I'm not, you know, super familiar with. So now I'm bringing him into this. So if he's a little quiet on these artifact podcasts at first, that's why. But he's learning and he's working his butt off, I would say. I mean, he kept up with me today. Not like I'm the fastest, but...
Oh, no, y'all moved a lot of dirt.
I felt like we moved some dirt.
I mean,
that's
decent.
What it takes.
Yeah. He worked his butt off in Elgin a couple weeks ago, too. I mean, dug all day. He found one Darl. But he's, you know, he's adamant to do this and adamant to learn and... The stories y'all are telling, like just talking about Quade and that blade.
It's a blade.
We're still gonna call it a blade, Richard.
Yeah, Christian's in that boat right now. He's in that position. Yeah. Position right
but that's
now.
Also what that's also fun too. You know, like you once you dig a lot of points out and stuff. You know, like I still don't lose the excitement for someone else to find a broke.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I'm not gonna walk over there and tell them. You know, unless it's someone I know.
Oh,
and be like,
broke.
Oh, you know, it's got an ear nick or something. Yeah. You know, but like for most
there's levels
out,
to it. At first, just the broke is exciting.
Oh, I remember
you find a tip and you're
hunt.
Excited.
Oh, every time I was excited. You know, and now you know you dig a lot of points and you.
Yeah, you get
your expectations.
Get a little seasoning
another cup holder point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could take you to my truck right now and show you every damn door and my cup holders are full of, you know, cup holder points.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, it's, but it's still fun when someone else finds them or a kid finds them. We had a kid here yesterday, and he was just turned on by it, you know, and it was a lot of fun. And he's like, what did they find? Every time somebody, you know, you know how you group up when someone finds something, he'd – peeing there, elbowing.
He was there every
time,
yeah.
Trying to see what it was. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That's what it's about. So yeah, transitioning from that camp, y'all moved on to what was y'all's next private site? Is that would that be
San Saba
kill site?
Was
it was.
I guess. Did we do San Saba or did we do Brady?
We did. We went back and forth.
Oh, okay.
We went straight from Llano. Moved over to Sam Saba, and the deal with that was
that's where we messed up on those middens and tried to dig them and thought it was better than it was.
We had a
per usual.
Yeah, we had a opportunity to dig in San Saba. He'd let us, you know, dig wherever. We had gone and done a little bit of digging there, not a whole lot. Not much that I thought we'd do that much more out there. But we dug a big Matade out and, you know, a few Zephyrs.
You found that drill.
Yeah. So, you know, we
that
had quite a few. Yeah. We had quite a few people out there. We dug that spot and it was a total bust.
It's devastating.
There was
honestly.
Like one Zephyr out of a lot of people that dug with us there. Mm. And that was, you know, that was disheartening, but you know, we dug a huge area up. When we were done, we covered it up. You know, the landowner actually came through. He saw the giant.
This is the son.
Yeah, the landowner's son. He came through. He saw the giant hole we had dug and went, he was going down to the river to go swimming. He came back up. We had slicked the site off perfectly, and I kind of gained their trust of like, you know, they're going to take care of it. That's, you know, they were kind of freaking out about, you know, the land being torn up. But then, you
I
know,
also told them
an hour and a half later,
I was like,
it's done.
Stop feeding cows there. We got to dig.
Yeah. But anyway, so once we gained their trust, he was like, hey, well, I don't know why y'all were even digging that spot. He's like, this is where I've always found points, you know. So of course, after we worked our butts off. He was like, hey, down here, this other spot, totally different part of the property. He's like, this is where I find them. The goats walk down the edges, and then after the rains, I keep finding points over here. Mm. So, you know, sure enough, as fast as we could get over there, we're poking holes.
Oh, you
holes.
Remember that first day?
Yeah, and it was just, it was instantly on fire. We're
was
talking
it, four hair blades? Like, yeah. And it was just a bucket of buffalo bones. And
we called
it
the kill site because of the amount of bone that was coming out.
That,
and
did, not, that did not last that much. There were still a lot of buffalo bones.
No, there was, but in the beginning, it was a crazy amount. And really? It was right on the edge before the river drop-off.
You fill a five-gallon bucket up.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I mean, I wasn't there the first time y'all dug it, but I was there pretty early, I think. And it was insane. Between the amount of mussel shell, like...
Well, I found two broke pendants that first test dig, too.
Yeah. The amount of mussel shell and the amount of bone in there, like y'all are saying, like, I've dug a lot of Bell County sites, and there's a lot of buffalo bone in them, but it's nothing like... I mean, if y'all dug San Saba, you know exactly...
Hey, what we were talking about earlier, you know, what's weird is, you know, usually those open-air sites don't hold bone that well, and we found so many bone artifacts.
Yeah,
so
it was kind of strange beans. That everything survived, but...
It's got to be an overhang or a cave because of the moisture, you know what I mean?
But so it was really awesome and lucky because some of those bone artifacts that came out were just so epic. That stuff you just rarely find. Yeah. I mean, there was
that. You found that. You found the freaking rib bone with 45
notches. Yeah, we found rib bones with notches. There was
the
multiple
Brian
of those
found.
That came out. We were finding
Brian.
That
was
pottery. Sick. There was some kind
of
skinning tool.
Of
there was like a little skateboard-shaped bone piece that we found
and
a couple of them.
Those are super rare, too.
Yeah, and Dr. Hester was saying that those were used for skinning. And
really?
Those are very rare. We found a couple of those there.
So what did he kind of explain like what? What they were using.
I guess
they
were like
used.
Peeling them and
you don't know
using
what it like looks a, like. It looks like a tongue depressor or like one of those little skateboards
is,
you use on your fingers.
Yeah.
That's
tech deck.
I think it was made out of big
was.
Rib bones that they work
and they just filed it down
and
rubbed it down.
Thin as could be and is a crazy artifact. I don't even know what to make of it.
We did find some bone awls. We called one of them a hairpin just from the shape of it. It literally looked like a hairpin you see in modern time.
Yeah, it looked like a pencil. I actually think I put my daughter's hair up with it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was a really cool artifact. And then the shell artifacts that were coming out, that's just like, you know, you see one here, there, every once in a while, but the amount that came out there was crazy, and that's what kept, that's one of the things that kept it so
size
exciting.
Of two inch per D's and the hair haze.
Yeah, you know, the flint was cool too, but then there's just this other, there's pottery.
Yeah, there's a whole other element to it.
You know, I remember when you and your dad were there too. And we were trying to test around, and y'all went over there and started digging under that pecan tree.
Yep.
That was like, what? 50, 75 yards
from
away.
Where we had been digging the day before.
Yeah, huge hole. You know what I mean? And then also
totally different spot. And
all of a sudden
just
your dad
again.
Pulls out that piece.
Yeah,
that's
we popped the hole first thing in the morning, and I don't know, we got a foot and a half, 2 foot in the ground, and just buffalo bones started rolling out.
A lot of shell.
Kept going. And then
I didn't even go over there and dig with y'all. I think I was digging
Quade,
all
the we
all
kept
all
going, and we tested
we were
other
like,
spots.
Bye, guys, whatever.
Yeah. But Quade came back over, and I think we found, like, 4 or 5 2-inch plus per D's right there within like 30 or 45 minutes.
You know, honestly, it almost ended up being better in that spot where we moved over than the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, not to take away from the first stuff because it really, you know, even day one was the best per D's, one of the best per D's. It's hard
to
say.
The only thing I would say off that is like that first hole like the first like
it was really
it
good
was like,
but
it was like a I don't know like 15 by 15 yards
yeah
ish right there right off the river
yeah
that I still think
but
that,
I don't
you there remember, you remember, you that, remember mm-hmm. that mesquite tree
yeah
that mesquite tree
yeah that little down. Mesquite tree that was right there on the edge
no mm-hmm. there was a bigger one than that but I'm saying you probably dug after we took the mesquite tree down there's a mesquite tree
kind of where I hand dug that time or
yeah, no, that's yeah. exactly what okay. I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. That was the original hole.
It was loaded there. In there, and a lot of that camp actually washed away from flooding. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it is just it. The richest part was coming out of the.
We
bank.
Talk about grubbing in that river all the time.
I bet it'd
don't
be
do
sick.
It. Mike Hickey yeah. can't. Wasn't Mike Hickey and somebody?
Yeah, they tried. It's just it's too deep bit, right yeah. there below. Right at the best spot. But
every time it rains, you look down there. It's just flint.
There's
got to
be so much stuff down there, though.
Yeah, that would have been an easy camp to find, even if you weren't finding points on the surface. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't
just
that
because
easy
of,
to find, Richard. There's nothing on the surface besides the landowner told us, hey,
that
look
was
in the
hard
bank.
Part. There's no we're talking
on the surface, but if you looked yeah. over the edge,
if you
of the bank,
if you actually got and walked the steep edge yes. of the bank, yeah. it was there. But
was
on the
crazy.
Surface, there was no flint. You would never think to dig
I mean,
in that
now
spot.
There is.
Yeah, now there is from digging it. You know,
stuff all over the surface. You know,
but that first spot, I don't think it had that many 2-inch pretties on it. There was a few. But then
I'm just saying, like, you remember the bone beads?
Oh, yeah. No, no. There was a lot of good
stuff
there.
And all that kind of stuff that came out. But as far as the bigger perdees, yeah.
Yeah, once we scooted over into those pecan trees.
When you and your dad found that
spot. There was probably 10 2-inch perdees out of that spot. And then also some really good hair haze. Like,
that was the one thing I never seen out of that site. I mean, I seen Darren's hair hay that he brought out one day, but I never seen it.
You've heard the story about that, right?
No.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Uh-oh.
Jay, I can't remember what, for some reason, Jay couldn't be there that morning.
I think it was my class reunion. And I think it was the afternoon. I think I left in the afternoon. I think I left after lunch.
Oh, is that what it was?
Because of a class reunion.
Ain't no digger if you're going to a class reunion.
Yeah.
Well, golly.
Yeah. So, if you came to the kill site, you know how it was. There was good days. There were bad days. Sometimes it was half a good day, half a bad day. But we were having one of those, slow days. You know, what was tough about it, you'd be finding the bone, the shell, the flint, everything but the arrowheads.
Mm-hmm.
So we were having a really slow day, and we had a lot of hole open at this point. So it kind of gets more intimidating then, too, especially on a slow side, because you're just like, where am I going to go? I have so many options. So there was this one spot, hadn't dug there forever, went and took one scoop out, and as soon as I hit the wall, it rolled out. And it rolled out with the long end of the hair hay first. How long was that thing? Do you remember?
It's like six.
Six.
It's over six.
I think it's
over six.
Yeah.
But it's sharpened down to like a snakehead type hair hay.
Sure,
and the other end by itself is like almost all the length. So I can only imagine how big this thing was at the very beginning. Yeah. But I rolled that out. The person that was next up to get that dirt.
He made you dump it, right?
You know, I wanted to let them rock, paper, scissors
for
it.
Yeah, he tried to make them rock, paper, scissors because he knew it was in there.
There were two people screening. You know, I hop out of the machine, and it's literally such a bad day, people don't even pay attention that I
hop
out of the machine.
But also, another thing is, when you see an artifact like that, like when we're operating, you know, a lot of people, you know, like are just not trustworthy, and they'll pick up points when they're doing stuff and, you know, loading for other people. You know, but like when you see an artifact like that, for us, I will stop and go pick it up, just like Clay did that day.
Yeah, there's no sense in
risking. I'm not going to break it. I saw so much of a tip sticking out. Like, I don't know where to cut that I'm not going to break this thing.
If
it chips,
but I'm saying,
you know, that's messing up history to me. You know, I'm like,
anything, you know. So he went and picked it up and then drove over there.
And, you know, I argued with him for a while, like, man, please just, y'all find a way to make an agreement. I really don't want to dump it. And he was like, no. And I was like, can I at least pick it up and put it in the bucket? And he was like, yeah. So I went back over there, picked it up. I went ahead and took a good picture and video right there just to make sure, you know, in case it broke, I'd have some proof that it was all there. So I picked it up. I nestled it, you know, down into the dirt where I thought was good, right in the very middle.
Where I thought was good.
They started sifting.
It's not good in the dirt where it's not safe anymore.
Well, they got down almost the end of it, you know, and they still didn't find it. And I was like,
how?
I wanted to let you just pick it out. Why did we have to do this, you know? And then right about that time, you know, that he starts yelling and freaking out, and you know, the whole digs over there. Of course, it was one of the best hair hays I've ever seen.
One of the best hair hays I've ever seen. Yeah, that's just what I was about to say.
Yeah, you know, the only downside of that one is they used it. There's a little bit of like wear on it, but I mean, aside from that, and we got spoiled out there. We had some first stage hair hays that had no use on them. You know, no signs of cutting anything at all. Mm-hmm. That thing got used a little bit, but it's still at the artifact.
Don't even get me started on those first stages.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Arguably the Folsom's.
The Folsom Ultra Thin.
Yeah.
That I hand dug out of the freaking...
From a Perdiz camp.
Yeah.
So that one,
yeah, we were barely digging into Darls and Zephyrs underneath.
We showed up that one day, and Quade was cleaning up the site, and I literally am like pawing the dirt just with my hand and my knife, and all of a sudden that blade just like appeared in my hand, and I took off running that day.
Yeah.
And I was screaming. They're like, what do you got? And I mean, I'm talking thin as all get out, you know. You
yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah, I remember
that. We all had some crazy luck out there. You know, there was one day, same thing for me. I pulled up. I think this was after him, you know, inspired by the pocket knife digging. I tried it with my knife, and I'm telling you, like, we barely got there. I picked at the wall just a little bit, and I had one of my best pretties off the sites. Mm-hmm. I dug like that, and this is a site where you can dig for 2 days.
Oh, we
you know, especially without a bunch of people there, you could dig 2 days and not find very much at all.
And yards of dirt and not found.
And to hand dig them like that, you know, sometimes they find you.
Yeah. Yeah. The best day, honestly, the best day I had out there was when I hand dug. The first, yeah, some scallion and like maybe a dead man or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next time we came, y'all let us hand dig, and I found that I don't know what kind of blade it is. I found a really nice blade, and then Nathan found a really nice one of those flake drills. And we found a couple other points. I think we found some perdies and stuff, but that was the best day I had out there. I mean, and I screened out there a pretty good amount of times.
That was like the first, like, I think the first or second time we dug out there that people came and dug with us. That one guy found like 4 bone beads, and you know how hard it is to find a bone bead, and he was just like not even that excited.
Yeah, it was nothing. He was man, you got a whole necklace
like,
right
he was
now.
Acting like he had a horrible day, and I'm like, sir.
Where else are you going to go find bone beads?
Bone beads.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That was cool. Yeah. I mean, at first it was just basic bone beads, and as time went on, they got more and more epic. Mm-hmm. I mean, what all did we get? We got that one that had a hole drilled in it. It almost looked like a little fire
that's
on
one,
it.
That's
it
one I got. That's the one I got off of Hatley.
And then what did Billy Martin find?
Billy had that one that had the circles on the end and tally marks all
yes,
the way around.
Yes, that's
it.
Right. That one was
epic piece.
Best of the best.
Once in a lifetime type stuff.
You know, I take that over an arrowhead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what was so rare. That's what kept everybody coming back to that site, too. I mean, aside from 2+ inch perdies, with like you said earlier, is all the shell pendants, all the bone artifacts. Like, even when you weren't finding points, there was so much bone and so much shell on the table. You had so much to look at.
I'll go open the wall right now and you'll still see some.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
Just like you might not find no points. Yeah. You know,
I found like a quarter of a pendant out there, and that freaking made every trip worth it. And it's literally the smallest sliver one, but that made it all worth it.
Yeah, have you ever just seen their little artistic touch on there? Mm-hmm. Enough.
Have you ever found a pendant anywhere else, like a muscle shell pendant?
Not muscle shell.
And how much dirt have you moved in your life?
A lot.
I can't even put a number on it.
Yeah, a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
The only thing I found close to it, I mean, I found some bone tools and some other bird camps, like the little bitty tiny antler tools they'd use to flake with.
Mm-hmm.
I found a bead, and I found a couple awls in the last camp we dug in, a couple bone handles with some castorvilles. But aside from that, the only, I guess, pendant type stuff is a broke gorget, and I've only ever seen one other broke gorget found.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty rare.
Yeah, they're hard to come by. But yeah, those pendants were coming out like crazy out there, and that was so cool. The one time I brought my uncle out there, he found one. They didn't drill it or anything, but it was just completely perfect circle. That thing was sick.
I think
sick.
We found 3 or 4 of those that looked like a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think David's was just the perfect circle with no tally marks.
Yeah.
And then there was
another one. And then Randall found that
Randall
one.
Randall found a perfect circle with tally marks all the way around the whole thing.
Yeah. And it just makes you wonder what they were doing
neat.
With that. You know,
you know,
did they just never drill it?
Or
was that,
you know?
I mean, who knows? Some kind of game piece? Is that somebody's lucky shell? I mean,
for the best part of the buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like a coin shape.
Who's going to use the dull end of the harrowhead today?
Yeah. But we'd find those, for not with the tally marks, but we found several of those just perfect circle shells, and it just intrigued you. Like, you know, what were they doing with those?
Yeah.
What's the purpose? And then there were a lot of other styles of shells that were worked down like that.
Like those little ghost pendants that we call
Yeah,
them.
The ghost pendants were cool. There was a few of those.
And that's cool, too, because you see those in other parts
other
of the
states
world.
States and stuff, yeah. So made out of bone and stuff.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, that there was a lot of out there that a lot of people kind of overlooked. I mean, there was always muscle shell that was, you know, had peck marks in the, I guess it'd be like the stem of the muscle. I don't know what you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some out there that were cut. And I mean, I found a bunch of them that were cut across that deal, like clearly cut.
We found a pair of those one time. The best cut ones I've seen,
Cameron.
Our buddy Cameron
found. He found them there.
They were stacked together, sandwiched together, and they both had a clear cut where you could just tell a knife cut all the way across
the
base.
They rubbed it like with something and like till it had a hole in both of them. It was the exact same.
We were calling them earrings. I don't know what it was, but
it could have been anything. But
that would make sense, honestly, if it was a pair of them.
It was cool. Yeah.
It was, That was a really neat find. You know, for not, I mean, the shell didn't, it was normal shells, just two little shells. No extra work on them besides the fact that they were,
you know,
like,
there was no design or anything, but no, they were very intentional cuts. There's no doubt about it.
Same size, it was really neat.
Yeah.
Another one of those things that make you think, like, what could that have been?
Yeah,
anybody that knows that site, which a lot of people know that site, they know the artifacts that came out of there and why people kept going back. Even, you know, like you said, it was probably one of the slower camps that I've been in. But,
oh, for sure. I mean,
but yeah, it didn't matter.
I never said it wasn't.
No, it did not matter how slow that camp was.
Because some people
came
would
out,
just happen to come with the lucky, you know, the lucky juju every time.
Yep.
You know, people like Dwayne, I don't know if he ever got skunked out there.
He was a lot of dirt, though.
Yeah, he does.
That was like, so, what was it? Marissa, that found that other snakehead that was,
you know,
crazy.
Everyone's killing dirt, not finding points.
Yeah, I mean, they moved probably.
They came for a half day.
It might have been the least amount of dirt moved that day, and she found the second best snakehead.
I think they moved five or six tables, maybe, in that whole half day.
And it was brutal out there.
Snakehead,
you know, no
hair hate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and the dust out there was another level. I mean,
it's crazy and stuff like that. You know, you see it all the time. First time diggers finding freaking corner tangs and stuff like that. Yeah.
It definitely is something to that.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. Some people, you know, they just get crazy lucky like that, but that's cool. But like I said, everybody knows, a lot of people know about that site. That was one of the big reasons I wanted to talk to y'all, was kind of talk about the kill site. But Christian, you want to get them kind of going about today, kind of review your experience here, and maybe talk some about this camp now?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it seemed like y'all were pretty busy all day. I mean, we had a lot of people out here, you know, for y'all, moving a lot of dirt. I mean, what is your, when you're operating, like, what are you looking for as far as when you're pulling dirt, when you're dumping dirt? Like, just, I guess, walk us through kind of what it looks like from start to finish.
I mean.
Or how you organize it and everything.
I feel like you're always reading the wall when you're in the, you know, and a lot of people don't get that opportunity to be the one in the machine.
Right.
And, but you can read the wall, like, when you're digging. And, I mean, every site's different, like we said, but you're digging into it, and you see bend rock or you see flakes, and like, depending on how it's looking, but then sometimes you'll dig a spot where you're like, you know, that scoop didn't look as good as this one over here, and it happens. So there's no rhyme or reason, but like, really what you're looking for is just people to group up when you're digging.
Mm-hmm. Starting out, it's all the sign, but at the same time we're trying to pay attention to who got what load from where,
and we're always trying to keep up. We're always trying to keep up with each other to know
where you're going.
That's part of the skill of digging is knowing that, because if you're just digging blind all the time, especially once the hole gets big, like I was talking about the kill site earlier, it gets intimidating of where to dig. So if you're just digging in 20 different places, which that did happen out there sometimes, when it got rough, we'd be digging all over the place, and then we finally hit.
Trying to find it.
And they're like, I have no idea where it came from. And it's a bummer, because I know a lot of times with how they were so grouped up there, if I knew where that spot was,
it'd
be on. So that's been the same thing here.
Got to keep up with where your scoop's coming from. You know? And so that way when someone tells you, like, hey, man, where'd that come from? You're like, I know exactly where it came from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go right back through there.
Mm-hmm. So because of that, paying attention, we dug through a hot spot yesterday, and then we pushed through today, kind of started out a little bit slow, and then we got into another hot spot, and it was just points everywhere.
Yeah,
didn't have time to even get out of the machine to look at them, but there were a lot that came out.
Yeah, I mean, if y'all listening have never dug with Mike and Quade, these guys work extremely hard to put you on points. And today was definitely a testament to that. Two machines running just nonstop, and there was definitely a lot of points hitting the table.
Right. I mean, we couldn't even get finished with our load before we were dumping them on there. So.
Yeah,
just one after another.
Yeah. Honestly, we thought we finished up our last load, and Quade walks up and he's like, man, y'all want another one? Like I said earlier, you don't ever turn down dirt.
I kind of like doing that to people too when they're almost done with the load, and I just bring them another one, and I'm like, what, you're not going to do another one? It's the end of the day, and they're like, we're done. And I'm like, you're really going to turn this down?
Yeah. But how many last load stories have you heard?
Yeah, you can't.
It happens all the time. One thing at Lano.
Yep.
Yeah, because we got a story real quick.
Don't leave that dirt on the table.
We'll go back to Maggie's real quick. There was a load on this table. Everybody kind of gave up this day. The dig was over. There's a couple people lingering around.
She who should not be named.
Yeah.
It's like Voldemort.
So there's a couple people lingering around. Jay was like, I don't give a shit about that dirt. Just dump it off the table. And I was like, no, I'll sift it, like, when this is all over. There was nothing special about this dirt. It was just, I'm not going to take the risk of losing something, you know? Well, then one of the people that was digging with us was like, man, can I sift that load? And I'm like, yeah.
Sure.
He comes up. This is our buddy Brian. He digs like 3/4 of the load. Another guy that was digging was like, hey, man, you care if I help you finish that table?
Oh.
And he's like, sure. So he does this last quarter, and the best blade that we dug off that site comes out of that last quarter of a table that nobody wanted to dig.
I will say he was a little sour about that.
Yeah, I could imagine.
I tried really hard to buy this blade because it was, I think it was the first whole really big killer blade I ever loaded. They didn't want to sell it, so. But it was still awesome to see it come out. But yeah, that last load, look, it happens. That's why you never turn down dirt. You never leave half your table at the end of the dig. If you do that, someone is going to find a point after you leave.
I'm like, perfect. I'll sift that when you leave.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah. And bust your quads,
I'll send you
too.
A picture.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I walked up to a table at that site one time, and I was out there hand digging, but there was a big-ass quad on the table. And I walk up, and there's this freaking Martindale sticking out of it. Took a picture of it. I sent it to the owner, and I was like, hey, put this on your group. You know, bust your quads. And then today, that dude, I don't know who it was.
Jeremy? That killer.
Yeah, whatever. That Wells or whatever, like mm-hmm. four-inch Wells.
Yeah, or...
Wells or maybe a Coriel.
Like,
it could be like a Wells variant, Coriel maybe.
Killer point.
Like we said, we're still learning this neck of the woods over here.
What's it, Heath?
Call it what you like.
He's going to be here tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
But no, I mean, all in all today, just kind of a recap on this dig. The site has some killer potential, I think. A lot of different point types coming out, a lot of stuff you don't really see. A lot of PERD variant looking stuff, like some stuff maybe looked Uvalde. Ryan found one today that looked Langtree or maybe like Valverde or something. I don't know.
I don't even know if I want to call it that at this
point.
I've changed my mind like three times on it. But
there's a lot of stuff here that, like, I mean, from where I'm from, they're not like totally familiar point types to me, but I mean, it seems like that's kind of
we're dealing with the same thing. It's hard to
type every single point, but I don't know.
You know, and we keep finding these Zephyr Darrow looking points. It's almost
like a mixture
of them.
Like,
you know, it's just interesting.
Yeah,
that's not exactly what it is.
Call it what you want. There's some killer points.
Yeah, they are
here.
Killers.
A lot of quantity as far as I mean, points and brokes both.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't really even. Having a slow point at, I mean, there's some slow points here and there, but I mean, you're still finding, you know, artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
You're still finding brokes. You're still finding, you know, tips and stuff like that. I mean, I don't even know how many grindstones we found today.
Yeah. I mean, y'all found a lot of pieces. Y'all were some of the unlucky ones as far as the hole points goes, but that's how it goes.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
Y'all were the losers on this dig.
Yeah. Yeah. Three pooter gnarls and 19,000 monos.
I think y'all are in last, you know, and I've been there before too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
it happens,
just happens.
That's part of going
these days, but you keep going because you're like, you never know when you're going to be in first place.
You see the stuff that other people find around you, you know, you have that chance.
Oh,
that's what it is. It's like rolling a dice every time you sift a load.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the thing too, like we said earlier, the points are going to find you. There's days that it's going to be your day, and then there's days that it's not, and that's part of it. Again, that's why it's hunting and not finding. You got to come into this stuff with a good mindset, and a lot of people, I've been around a lot of people that dig, especially in this situation or this type of environment, that have poor mindsets on it, and they expect to find something every load or, you know, and that's just not how it works.
Me and Quay talk about it all the time. Why would you have a hobby that you're going to be mad about all the time?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
If you're expecting to win every time, then you're going to lose every time.
Yeah, this isn't privilege digging.
I've had, you know, 6 month long at least dry streaks where I'm going to digs.
You're talking yards.
And all my buddies around me are finding killers.
Hundreds, maybe thousands.
And it feels like something's wrong. What am I doing wrong, you know? But then you'll break through it finally if you stay persistent, and you'll get that good luck streak, and then you're the guy that's going to every dig.
People say all the time, I'm like, man, you find arrowheads all the time, and I'm like, well, yeah, I don't post pictures of the dirt.
Yeah, y'all don't see all the days of just work and nothing.
The arrowheads I find, and people are like, you find them all the time. I'm like, yeah, I could show you dirt that I find every day, and you'd be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, dirt finder. I mean, not just talking dirt, too, the amount of time y'all put in to find, you know, people to let you onto their property, to gain their trust, to prove that you're trustworthy people, and then to be able to dig these sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to come across people to let you get on their property. And,
that's the hardest.
Not a lot of trust.
I've had people tell me before, like multiple times, and that's every digger that's a real digger. They'll tell you, yeah, you can come out here and dig, and then it's just you can't. You're not going out there. I'm like, well, why'd you ever even tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't have never.
You got to come out with the resume.
I never would have said, you know, you could have told me no from the get-go, and I wouldn't have texted you 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, we can't say how much we appreciate those landowners that will let you on their property and trust you and just let you enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because we don't own any land. We don't have acreage to go hunt. So, you know, the only time we get to do this is when somebody opens their doors to us and lets us do it. So, I mean, we really appreciate that.
Pretty big spot if we did have land, because it'd probably be out.
Yeah, tore up quick. Yeah. Yeah. That being said, man, something that is a pet peeve of mine is when I come to digs and, you know, there's a lot of people here, and I haven't really seen it so much on y'all's digs because y'all keep a pretty tight group. But there's some digs I go to and people are leaving their trash behind and stuff. Dude, like, A, this is, you know, you're affecting an operator's reputation, but B, too, this is somebody else's land and you need to take care of it. I mean, well, it takes 100%. two seconds to grab a Walmart sack and put your water
just,
bottles.
That's just part of it on everything. That's even like deer hunters.
Yeah,
yeah, that goes for all aspects.
It just happens.
Any,
you know,
public and, access you have. Yeah. I mean
that's like people that have like spots on the creek or river that people swim. And the next thing you know, like I grew up my whole life swimming holes, you know, next thing you know, they have signs up, you can't go there. You know why? Because people go there and trash it. You know,
people take advantage of it.
It's one of those things that you just got to deal with it, you know, because it just comes with it.
That's one of the most important things, picking up your trash, you know, leaving the land better than you found it. We try to clear whatever they want cleared in the areas we're digging. We clear it all. We get rid of it. And when we cover it up, it's, you know, the land is smoother than it was when we got here.
Yeah, leave it better than that.
And we pride ourselves in that.
That's a big deal because, I mean, your reputation's like that on that kind of stuff. So
Yeah.
If you take care of people, you know, you'll be able to go do other stuff, because then I can be like, well, call this person, ask them what I do, you know.
Yeah, good people, you know, they get taken care of.
I mean, on top of that, y'all have a landscaping business as well. I mean, I don't know if y'all want to kind of go into how that might tie into helping with digging and, you know,
honestly,
potentially anything
it's kind
like
of
that.
It's kind of crazy that you say that, because I would say digging helped with landscaping, because we didn't really get to run machinery a whole lot landscaping before then. So when we took that machine to Bandera, we were definitely newbies out there running that machine, learning it, you know, looking like idiots, doing dumb things, just figuring it out. But that's part of it, too. Yep. So I would say, honestly, the digging helped more than anything, because once you get – and it's not just the digging part, but the cleanup part at the end. That's what translates into landscaping, because we're always having to level yards and smooth yards before we lay grass and stuff like that. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Dig a football field out and then level it off perfect. You know,
it
definitely, when we first started,
a little rough.
It took a little time to get to where, you know, because like
I couldn't do it. I know
just,
that
it's just perfectionist deal of like I want it to look right. I don't, you know, and all that. And so, you know, when you can't run a machine good, and I've seen sites that are.
The landowner doesn't get taken care of, and that's
I'm like, wow,
not right.
I would never leave the place like that. And that's kind of the. Like we're talking about trash and all that kind of, you know, get a bad name about something and you go.
And that's the stuff that just gives digging in general a bad reputation. Bad rep, you know, and it makes those other landowners that don't really know much about it more hesitant to let you go out there.
Well, I've heard horror stories of people leaving holes, completely leaving the camp and leaving the landowner with a hole.
Before you dig, you need a plan of cover up. That's why, like right now, this hole we're sitting in, that pile of dirt is right behind the camera. It's ready to be pushed back in. We're always thinking about that. We did make a mistake on our first dig. We kept all of the sifted dirt way too far away from the hole, and it took us days to haul it back
wanted-
in.
She wanted retention ponds up there.
No,
so she can have.
That's not the one we're talking about.
Oh, different,
about.
Different place.
Right. We stacked sand or dirt higher than the freaking oak tree up there behind the camera. It was a mountain. I mean, I have cool pictures off of it, but the hole was like 75 yards.
It got
that
so
way.
Far away
so,
that
hey,
oh
hey,
my gosh,
so you
one load at a time to fill it back in.
And you got
to
go just back and forth. Running 50 yards with a skid steer, you're like, wait a minute, I got to think about where I'm putting dirt.
A, this isn't efficient.
Yeah.
B, yeah.
Yeah, but, there's a learning curve to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Quade said, I mean, I've heard, especially as far as, you know, gaining access, you know, a lot of landowners have misunderstanding how this stuff works. So when you're out getting access, you know, make sure you're communicating these things with your landowners. Like, hey, this is our kind of site plan. This is what we plan to do. This is what we plan to do as far as cleanup, coming back and backfilling, all this stuff. You gotta cover
that
stuff.
It's still hard even. You know, even having proof that you will do that.
Yeah,
it still makes it hard, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people just are like, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over in West Texas, we do not get access to very many properties.
We're trying all the time.
Everything
we got over there is basically customers that we've built rapport with, you know.
Customers that have ranches outside of town that we work for in San Angelo.
You know, as far as, like, everything else, it's just like they're like, no.
No.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Y'all want to shout y'all's business? I mean, like I said, most people listening to this know who y'all are, but just in case there are some random people out there, maybe in that Angelo area, needing some landscaping done.
Yeah, our business is Angelo Landscaping Experts. We do sprinkler installs and landscape installs, mostly new stuff. Not new builds necessarily, but we'll just go redo a whole landscape when we do it usually. Mm-hmm. We don't do a whole lot of maintenance or anything like that. And then our Facebook page is Texas Diggers, where we post a lot of the stuff we find on our digs.
Yep. Some real deal diggers here, guys. I mean, like I said, most of y'all listening do know these people. But we wanted to kind of bring y'all in, let y'all kind of get a recap as to, you know, who these guys are actually, if you don't know Mike and Quade that well. Great guys. I mean, they give their shirts off their backs to a lot of people. I've seen them help some people, you know, start a company from the ground up, I would say, pretty much. Just great guys.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Means a lot.
But that being said, I don't know, Christian, you have anything else you kind of want to talk about, or y'all want to wrap this up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we really appreciate y'all for coming on and giving us your knowledge and kind of sharing what to expect from the community. And then, you know, just overall kind of just giving us the right reputation as far as, you know, just digging in general and then just overall being a good person, you know, because that's what we expect. That's what we want to kind of promote is,
yeah, for sure.
Is
yeah,
being good people mm-hmm. and having good hobbies and explaining why you do what you do. So we appreciate that from both of y'all.
Well, thanks for having us on. And yeah, I mean, absolutely. We didn't give away all the digging stories today, so yeah, we'll do it again next time.
Oh, you already know.
And we're always making more, so.
You already know. We're going to have some fire, sit around the fire and maybe just talk stories one time or something.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
Again, guys, thank y'all so much. You know, y'all didn't have to be here. Y'all didn't have to let us stay after hours and talk this with y'all. Literally sitting in the hole, as you can see.
As close as you can get to the dig without being
here. Yeah, as close as you can get.
All right, arrowhead right there.
Earlier, there were people digging as we were setting up. So, I mean, it's a real deal. This is a good site. If y'all have the opportunity to maybe get out here with these guys, if they allow you, don't hesitate to get out here. I'll definitely be back. Again, thank y'all so much.
Yep.
Christian, anything else?
No, just right there with you. Thank you for everything. And make sure y'all hit them up to potentially go on your next dig or find your next artifact.
Yeah. Mike, Quade, anything else?
I think that about sums it up for me.
I think we're good, man.
That'll work, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Yep. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll see y'all later.
All right.
Give me a goddamn beer.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah.